remember struggling writing that book, actually, because I was like, oh, how do I write a book when there are so many great books out there? And I remember someone saying to me, but nobody has your voice. And I was like, well, that's true. No one's going to say it the way Alex says it. So stop comparing myself to all the great authors out there, because no one has my story or my voice.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to the Let's Talk About It podcast. Today, I'm your host, Christian, and I'm so pleased to announce our guest for this episode. She is someone that I revere and look up to. She is my pastor, Alex Seeley. Today, she's going to demystify and unlock the secrets to figuring out your calling, what you're called to do on this earth, what your purpose is wrapped up in. And I'm going to warn you, her answers may surprise you. So I encourage you to get notes, get ready, and prepare your heart to receive the wisdom that she shares with us today. Without further ado, here's Alex Seeley. You know, in recollecting for this podcast, I was thinking back to the first time I met you, and I feel so privy to have been able to meet you across the table, not knowing anything about you except for Lisa saying, I have a wonderful friend that's in town. You need to go to dinner with her. You won't regret it. And I definitely don't. You are just so, you're someone that I think is very authentic and real. And as we talk about calling, I think that's very important, especially for our generation. And you know, you have a daughter that's just graduated high school. And I know you've probably seen this up close, but when we talk about calling, especially in the Christian sphere and almost with that expectation for we're going to do amazing things, I think we sometimes get stuck in what that looks like. I would just want to ask you, first of all, what does it mean to even be called?
Yeah, I think this is a huge topic, and I'm so glad that you're talking about it because, I mean, like you said, I have an 18-year-old daughter who at 16, 17, 18, she's literally like, Mum, I don't know what I'm called to. Like, what does that even mean? Like, what are my giftings? What am I supposed to do with my life? So many people have to choose a college and a career path at 16 and 17 because they think that they have to know calling. And honestly, I think we have to break it down and just first of all say, relax. Your calling is going to find you. You are not having to work it all out in your teenage years, in your college years, because I knew I was called at the age of 11, but it didn't actually make sense to me. So this is really interesting because I knew when I got saved, there was a sense in my heart that I wanted to serve God. That was it. That was all I understood of it. It was a drawing to want to do the things of God. But if I had to put it in, well, you're going to be a preacher, pastor, teacher, author, I never would have been able to articulate that as a young person. Also because I didn't have anyone to model it for me. I mean, there were no women really in ministry. The only women in ministry that I saw when I was young were like Marilyn Hickey and Joyce Meyer, you know, and I'm like this young girl. So I actually had no reference, but all I knew, there was a knowing that, hey, I feel like I'm called to serve God and I don't know what that looks like. And that's why I think it's so important for you to not stress out, but actually just allow, because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Right? That goes for women too. They're ordered by the Lord. And if you're tethered to the heart of God, your calling finds you. But I think the initial thing is, what do you feel passionate about? What are the things that come alive in you? Because I think that's attached to your calling. And as a young girl, what made me come alive is when I counseled one-on-one with people, or when I shared my faith, or when I was working with a person and they would leave better than they came. Something jumped in me and I knew, okay, I think this must be my calling, because I would do this for free. I would not have to get paid for it. And I think sometimes you've got to discover the things that make you come alive. And I think your calling's always attached to that. So if you could just break it down and not make it this big highfalutin, you know, what's the will of God for my life? We could find it.
Yeah. So you're saying start small, start intentional, and then it escalates.
Yeah. God knows where to find you, right? And he's going to make it clear. It's not a puzzle. It really is. He's given you giftings. He's given you talents. He's given you passions. He's given you things that you feel strong convictions for. Lean into that, because your calling's often attached to that.
So good. Well, I actually started TaylorMade this week. And I've so enjoyed going through it. If anyone listening, TaylorMade is Pastor Alex's book. And I've just been, I feel really invited by it because in the first chapter, you go into a little bit of your testimony. And I'd love to share a little bit of that with the people listening, especially how, you know, you're saying at 11, you were saved and you began to uncover that, but you jumped through some hoops even before getting to that point. So what expectations, limitations did you overcome just to get to that point?
Absolutely. And this is the thing. I think this is where we get the wrestle. So there's a calling on my life at the age of 11, but there's a lot of brokenness in my life. So I grew up in a family that loved me and they were amazing and they were Christians, but my mum had some brokenness as well. And so I think I had to get through the insecurity of, am I good enough? I was told most of my life, and not in a mean way, it was just the Italian way of the way they raise their kids. It's like, you're stupid if you do something. That's a mistake, you know. And but those words are powerful because words hold great power. So I had to wrestle with, I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, I feel unworthy, I feel completely rejected, even though I knew there was a call of God on my life. And so I think so much of this is important because you've got to get to know who you are in Christ before you can really start walking out your calling with true authenticity, transparency. Otherwise, you're going to carry that brokenness and it does affect. And because I did feel like called to lead people, God had to do a work in me. And he's like, Alex, I can't have you leading people as a broken person. So I'm going to have to do the healing in you before you can start, you know, bringing the healing to others. And so for me, my massive limitation was insecurity. I had the fear of man, the fear of rejection, and that affected actually the outworking of my calling because what I was doing was actually trying to please man before I was trying to please God because I just wanted to feel connected and accepted. And that will mess with so many people's calling. And this is where I feel like this generation steps into the danger of the fear of man, the needing to feel accepted. Social media is a huge thing of comparison. So if you're not allowing God to actually deal with the internal issues, you're not actually going to be the true leader that you need to be until you've worked on the internal stuff.
Yeah. It sounds silly, but I love even in the book, you're talking about your cousins were asking you, who's your favorite band? And you're like, I'm not even going to say it. Who do you want my band to be? And actualizing that with what you're saying for this generation is if you are called to be a leader and you're just mimicking what the world is saying, how detrimental is that to what you are called to produce in the world?
Totally.
I mean, gosh, if we're not saying what God's calling us to, if we're not listening to him, what I hear you saying is we have to be in tune, not just to step into our calling, but to do it well, essentially.
Yeah. To do it authentically. I mean, I think because there's a lot of copycats out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people going, oh, I want to be like her. And so I'm going to do all the things they do on the outside, but actually have no substance on the inside. And I tried that. I emulated people. Like I was like, well, if I just do it like this and if I just act like them, and it's exhausting. Like you're like, oh my gosh. And when you actually get to the place where you're like, all right, I'm done. I'm exhausted. God, have your way with my life. You just don't care what anybody thinks. And then you actually become the real you. And people need the real you. That's why God gave you your individual fingerprint, because there's something about you that nobody else has, which means you've got a voice that everybody needs. We don't need the same voice. We don't need the same look. We don't need the same thought process. And because I remember struggling writing that book, actually, because I was like, oh, how do I write a book when there are so many great books out there? And I remember someone saying to me, but nobody has your voice. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's true. No one's going to say it the way Alex says it. So stop comparing myself to all the great authors out there because no one has my story or my voice. And so if I can just truly present who I am, then it will give somebody permission on the other side to be themselves as well. And I think that's so much a part of what we're called to be, is be yourself, be who you are in Christ, not who you think you need to be, because then it will give permission to unlock other people into their calling as well.
Mm-hmm. So good. You said something earlier too that I think plays into that, is even in that discovering the expression that God's given you, you unlock that by getting with other people, whether that was in a one-on-one like mentorship, counseling, even just doing life together. And I think we talk about calling as an individual anointing, but we sometimes miss how corporately that's needed to unlock and uncover. So how have you as a pastor seen that cultivated in other people?
Yeah, I think your calling is so wrapped up in where you fellowship and where you go into the body of Christ. I think, especially if it's a vocational calling for ministry, right? So let's talk ministry. But also, I mean, we have a church now where we have people literally called to the marketplace. It's still their calling. Their calling's to be there. But you need discipleship within a body. I don't believe that you can just be this separate rogue out there doing your own thing. I'm called to a ministry that's not attached to a community of sort, because it's in that community that I actually grew in my gifting, in my talent, the sharpening of who I am. It was the thing that discipled me. It's just like Jesus. He had 12 disciples. They were all called to go into the world and make other disciples, but they needed to be in community, because it was there where we got to wrestle what we believe, how we deliver, what we think, how we think. And I think calling is so important when it's done corporately within a body. And so I've been able to see, as a pastor in this season, the calling of God on people's lives, whether it is secular or sacred. There shouldn't be a disparity, because if we are spiritual beings and if God's put us in the marketplace, then there's a calling for us there. If he's put us in the sacred place, there's a calling there. But discipleship is paramount for you to be able to outwork that in your spheres of influence, because there's accountability, there is just input. And I needed it. I had women and men lead me, sharpen me, correct me. It's very, very important. And it actually developed the call of God on my life. And it was in a place of community. I was part of a youth group, and then I was part of a corporate church. It was there I actually developed where the call of God was on my life. That is where it got, you know, harnessed and delivered. And now I'm able to do that en masse in the church that we have. And I love watching people fulfill their call, but I believe it happens within a community. I don't think you can do it solo.
No, I agree. And we've been blessed by the stewardship that you've put into your church home and what has been cultivated there. And I love even seeing you continue to do that corporate stewardship with your husband and how you sharpen each other and call each other and make each other better, which we completely agree in when our family of you need exactly. to together, even in family. I want to ask you a question that someone may even like have in their spirit listening to this is, okay, Pastor Alex, I've tried community. I've tried friendships, but I only find comparison or insecurity or those feelings of inadequacy that you're speaking to. What kind of thought processes could they lean into to shift those? And even be like, I hear what you were saying of, I was something to someone even before I received it fully, or before I had my mother telling me exactly what I needed to hear, stepping it out before, even if you see it.
Yeah. Number one, you've got to find it in Jesus. Honestly, my healing came through going to scripture and saying, who do you say that I am? Because it was there that I discovered who I was. Because I don't think you can know who you are until you know the one who created you. So you can try and get it. And, you know, you're going to always look through the filter of either rejection or security. And when I was looking through the filter of rejection, there was always an excuse. People don't like me. I'm always on the outer. People don't include me. I don't feel like I belong here. I had all the excuses. I mean, we used to do meet and greet in church when I was like 18, 19, and I would go to the bathroom just so that I didn't have to talk to people, because I was so insecure. I was so waiting for somebody to pick me that I was always seeing through broken glass eyes. You know, it was always like, I'm fractured. So until I found it in scripture, and this is why scripture is so important, you've got to have your own faith. It can't actually come from other people. I think other people reinforce it, but it's got to come from the source, and that is Jesus. And so when I discovered Jesus was my source, that's then when I became whole. And then I was able to outwork that in a community sense. So for those people that are feeling literally on the outer, you feel like you're in a church that just feels like you've got to be the friend that you never had. You've got to make the effort. You've got to take the risk. You've got to get connected. But what you do need to understand is you're not going to find your freedom in a person. You're only going to find it in Christ through Holy Spirit. And you've got to get in those scriptures and know who you are. And that was the game changer for me, because when I realized, actually, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that's not just a cliche. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. Therefore, you know every detail about my future. No one else has that information on my life. So I'm trusting that you're going to lead me. But now you are asking me to step out in faith. You're asking me to take a risk. And if I've got you on my side, then everything else is going to be okay. And it didn't come without its betrayals, without its rejections. But I think you have to be prepared to be in a community to know that there's going to be some fallout. But that's actually another thing that sharpens you and actually makes you so dependent on the Father that you're like, it's okay. If people betray me, hey, I'm in good company. Even Jesus was betrayed. I am not going to fall out on this. And so, in fact, it's going to strengthen me and it's going to cause me to be a better friend and a better leader. And so get in the scriptures, get to know who you are, because you'll never actually be free until the one who sets you free does the worst. So.
Yeah, so good. I mean, I love that Jesus's betrayal was actually a part of his calling.
It's part of it. And I think this is where we've got wrong expectation of church callings. Like everything's pink and roses and tiptoeing through the tulips. It's like, no, it's a battle. And it is a fight of faith. It's not, you know, a cruise ship, but I'm telling you, it's in the battles, it's in the valleys that you actually discover who you are and who God is. That's actually the making of a leader. So if you're not prepared to go through battles, if you're not prepared to go through betrayals, you're in the wrong area. You're maybe not called to ministry, but you're going to find this in the secular workplace too. And so God's wanting you to be the Christian, the follower of Christ that carries the presence of God, so that you stand and don't fall apart when somebody rejects you, betrays you, blindsides you. I think this is where the world needs to see us and go, what is different about you? Because everyone's crumbling, but you're standing strong. And I think this is part of who we're called to be, sons and daughters of God. I love that your podcast, your ministry is sons and daughters, because that's who we are. Unless we know that first, we're not going to be any good for anyone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as you're saying all that, the verse that comes to mind is in our weaknesses, he is made strong. And I'm so encouraged even personally by your story and your teaching, because my story is similar. And it was that overcoming. And just to encourage anyone that's listening to this, it wasn't, you know, people just started being nice to me and God said I was called or loved. And so it was a parting the Red Sea. It was a battle. And even ingraining, do I believe that? Like, do I believe what you're saying? And what I'm hearing you say is we have to contend in the supernatural to be able to shift things in the natural. And I love that. I think it's practical, but empowering. And it's exactly what this generation needs to hear. And when we talk about calling, we say, I'm called, so I live each day with purpose. Now, how do we, even in post-COVID world, when some days we're just in sweatpants at home and then other days we're actually able to go outside, how do you live each day with purpose?
Yeah, it's a great question. I have made a decision to make sure that every day is on purpose, because this could be my last day. And I think sometimes we just whittle away the days and we're like, oh, what did I actually do this week? You know, did I just let life pass me by, or was I intentional to make every day count? For me, my purpose has always been to love people, to make somebody feel better than when I found them, to present Jesus through my life so that they actually get to see the hands and feet of Jesus. The whole purpose of my life is to make disciples, right? Go into all the world and make disciples. However that looks, and it doesn't mean now, oh, every day I'm like, okay, I've got to go find someone and I've got to go and tell them about Jesus. It's like every day my purpose is that, am I building towards seeing humanity get to know Jesus? Or am I just letting life pass me by and I'm worried about all the little menial things? Or am I just choosing to be grateful every single day? You know, that Colossians 3, what is it, 17, I think says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So he's just saying, whatever you do today, whether you're buying groceries, make sure you're really kind to the lady at the checkout. you know, maybe help someone if they need something. You can see that they're like, can I help you? Like, live on purpose for the good of seeing others blessed. And I think when you do that, your world comes alive. When you're just introspective and when you're just thinking about yourself, it becomes very, very boring. But when I'm always thinking about how can I bless someone today, like even the other day I'm in the Starbucks line and I just feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, pay for the lady behind you. Now, I don't know her. I'm probably never going to see her again in my life, but I'm wanting to live on purpose. I want to live to bless. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to pay for the person behind me. It can be the tiniest little thing. Or today I'm going to smile at that stranger and I'm going to look in their eyes today and I'm going to say, I hope that you have a really blessed day. Because that may be the kindest thing that they're going to hear the whole day, mm-hmm. but it's becoming from me. I'm just going to choose to live on purpose so that I can be the reflection of the glory of God. And who knows, I may just lead that person to Jesus. I was on a flight the other day and I was preparing a message and the gentleman next to me is like, what are you reading? I'm like, reading my word. And they're like, he goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm reading the Bible. He goes, why? I said, well, because I love Jesus. And then we ended up talking 3 hours straight. Wow. And I said, yeah, there's an opportunity here. I'm living on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think if you can just wake up every day saying, Holy Spirit, what have you got for me today? I tell you, your Christianity and your life changes. And it doesn't mean you have to have a microphone in your hand. You don't have to be on a stage. You don't have to be the grand master. You just need to live on purpose.
Mm. So good. So good. Now I'm just thinking of all the things those 3 hours had little nuggets in them. Oh, yeah. I love that. Hey, I hear airplanes are some of the best place to interact with your calling from what I hear.
Just open your word. It freaks people out these days. Mm. Literally, if you open your Bible, I could be reading a romance novel. No one's going to ask me what I'm reading. Mm. In it, and everyone knows what a Bible looks like. You open your Bible, people, I've literally had this every time I open my word, I will get asked every time. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a few weeks ago, I was preparing a message on the flight and the girl next to me just said, may I ask what you're doing? And I said, I'm actually preparing a sermon. Well, she was a disgruntled Christian who'd been hurt by the church. I ended up spending that hour and a half just talking the goodness of God. And I thought, wow, everyone always says to me, oh, what are you reading? Or why are you reading that? And it's unbelievable. So just open your Bible at Starbucks and people will ask.
Okay. That's all the qualifications you need to be a world changer, right? Just a Bible. Some knowledge when people ask you.
Yeah. And only stick to what you know, guys. You don't want to be sticking perfect.
Hey, even if it's just Jesus died for your sins, that's a great place to start.
Jesus loves you. Let's start there.
Oh, good. I was flying somewhere and I have had mine and it didn't even lead to a conversation, but I could tell the gentleman next to me was doing like the side eye, and when I turned the page, his head would tilt to read it. And I love that, even because everything I'm getting from your conversation is we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. God needs to be who establishes who we are. But even our calling doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to copy someone. We could not even see what the fruit comes from. It could be someone just getting a peek and a glimpse at how our lives are affected because we are sons and daughters. And I think that's achievable for everyone. So last question I want to ask you, this has all been so great. As a mother, a pastor, an author, and everything you're calling is wrapped up, what's something you wish young leaders, people with absolute callings on their life, what is something you wish they knew?
Two things. I believe two things. If you can know this, this will set you apart. Number one, your calling is not about you. First and foremost, your calling has really little to do about you. It's to do with others. If you look at the life of Joseph, everyone talks about dreams in this generation. Joseph had a great dream. And when he was a teenager, the dream was so about him. Oh, I'm going to have everyone bow down to me. I'm going to rule. I'm going to lead. So everything was me-centered. Mm. But the process of his journey took him through the hard knocks, the school of hard knocks, because what God was actually wanting him to do is that dream and that calling had everything to do with the salvation of the people. And when he gets to the end of his life and his brothers and his father come to him and actually fulfill the dream that he saw when he was a teenager, and they bow down to him. He literally turns away and cries and says, "You may have meant this for my demise, for evil, but God meant this for my good. And it was always about the salvation of the people." And he got a revelation that his calling was to save God's people. Mm-hmm. And I think if young people can understand that God's going to take you through a process, and that process is actually the destination. You never arrive. I have not arrived. Anybody at the top of their game, they've never arrived. The process is the destination, because your calling is always about others. And God's always going to take you to another level, another level, another level. And if you can understand that you're just a vessel to be used for God's purpose and plan, then you're not going to make it about yourself. You're not going to burn out. You're not going to get prideful, but also you're going to stay the course, because it's always about others. And so I hope this generation doesn't make their calling about them, but understands that their calling is far more about others. And it's a bigger picture that we get to be a part of. And when you get that, I tell you, you will be an unstoppable force.
So good. So good. I know everyone listening has thought processes and points to go to and digest. And I just want to point people to where they can connect with you and keep learning from you. I mentioned your book, Tailor Made, earlier. It's all about understanding who you were created to be in Christ. And you pastor an amazing church here in Nashville called The Belonging Co. How else can people connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, you can go online at The Belonging Co. Sermons and podcast things are there. Not podcasts, but, sermons. And on Instagram, just Alex Seely. And honestly, just the website, I think, but not much is on there. It just tells you where I'm speaking. I'm terrible with that. But honestly, The Belonging Co. is really where the bulk of my work is. And then obviously TaylorMade. And I have another book called The Opposite Life, but you can find that. Google it and you will discover it. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you for everything you shared with us and for your time. I so appreciate it. And I see your tattoo. So maybe the next time I see you, we can just take Lisa to go get some and we can all be tatted.
We need to get her have one. That would be my favorite thing in the whole world.
Just a sword or like a lion.
Sword. She needs a sword. That's exactly what she needs.
We'll coerce it. Just like sneak her in. Don't tell John about it.
No, I did that with Henry. I booked it for his birthday, and it was a surprise birthday, and he didn't know. And we literally went to this tattoo place, and I said, "Surprise." And he went, "What?" I said, "You're getting a tattoo today." And so he did it, and I had to surprise him. Otherwise, he never would have done it. So
I might follow that wisdom and do that to Arden. I'm going to Pastor Alex said I could do it. So
I know. Oh, no. Everyone on the podcast is going to be like, "What? What is that woman saying?" But anyway, good to be with you this morning.
Thank you so much. We will tag your people, everything when it comes out. But I so appreciate it. Right.
Well, I had great expectations for how this episode would go, and Alex knocked it out of the park. She unlocked some very crucial points to how we can discover our calling in Christ and in Christ alone. But I want to hear from you. What did you think of the episode? How was this podcast reaching you where you are and helping you cultivate your identity? Be sure to leave a comment, review, a 5-star rating, if you will, so we can see how to best serve you on this platform. Again, I'm Christian, and until next time.